Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. I'm like Morbius. I'm back in theatres and ready to get going.
Back in theatres?
Came back to theatres.
I was with Connor the other day, and he was going on about Morbius and Morbin and all this crap. I've completely missed this, because I'm like old and rubbish, and I don't look at the computer or the internet.
Jared Leto film.
Yep.
Is it Marvel? Probably. DC.
DC.
Is it DC? Yeah. In the cinemas. I went to see it. It was fine. It was trash. But it was trash fine. Right. It was like shit. Shit.
Excellent.
It was shit. But
it just got worse and worse.
Yeah, I remember more and more of it.
Why is it shit?
It's just a bit fucking lame, mate.
Oh.
It's just a bit lame. It's a bit hack, and it's a bit one note, and it's the sort of like kind of COD Twilight. It's something that looks like it should be on telly. Like it's not a film. It's not a film. It's just a bit rubbish. It's very one note. It's very one dimensional. It's just very man gets bitten by bat and turns into Morbius.
Spoilers.
I can't remember.
Spoilers, Pete.
He injects himself with some bat shit.
How big of a problem is Jared Leto in it? Is he part of the problem? Because he takes his roles a little too seriously at times.
The man either doesn't act at all or acts too much. In this one, he's acting little. He's doing little acting. Usually he does big acting. He's doing little acting here. And so he just turns into a spooky... It's just like... It looks like a 30 Seconds to Mars video.
Right.
That's what it... It's just the extended version of one of them. And he... But post at release, even though it was not a successful or popular, particularly a film, Morbius, it's taken on a life of its own. People are just doing memes about it because it is a bit lame. It's a bit embarrassing. It's a bit funny. So people are doing memes about it. So it's become... It's taken on a life of its own. Jared Leto, very much like when David Hasselhoff started calling himself the Hoff, in on the joke, in on the irony, all that business.
It starts
to lose its kind of heat as soon as that happens. But you know, it's Morbin time and all those kind of memes and stuff around Morbius. the film company thought, hey, lot of chat about Morbius online.
Oh no, they didn't.
But they don't understand irony, do they? Because they are pens and pushers, and so they bashed up the Morbius film for another go at the cinema, and I think it took about 80 grand in the US over a weekend, which isn't
so 80,000
isn't great. £80,000.
Asking him, he probably made more than that. He didn't, but like that's shocking.
Yeah.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Poor old Jared Leto. He just wants to be loved.
Never mind.
He's good in House of Gucci.
Everyone complained about his performance in that, but I thought he was all right.
Good. I can see why it's a little bit dodgy. Yeah, getting him to just play an Italian man dressed
fun,
up.
Mate.
He's good in Blade Runner 2049 as the kind of creepy villain who's a little bit overboard in that.
Yeah.
And he's good in Lord of War as the brother that dies. Jared Leto, everyone.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Exactly.
But I'll check it out. I won't watch it, though. I won't watch it. I won't cross the line. Well, I've just got back from I talked about it briefly about two episodes ago.
Yes.
But I filmed with Connor and Joby.
Yes.
Separately, albeit. Can't have them all together at once. That would be too much for me to handle. We went to a... So I wanted to...
give Joey the ultimate British experience that tied in with his Australian heritage.
Right.
So I took him to a prison and we slept in the prison and it was shit.
Yeah. What business did you have in a prison? How did you gain access to it?
So there's a prison, Shepton Mallet Prison.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's the most haunted prison in the UK.
Christ.
The prison itself is very impressive. It shut in 2013, was one of the biggest, one of the most prolific places, prison places in the UK. And prison places, what am I on about?
Prison places.
Prison places. Wow. It was very prolific, though. And they shot Paddington 2 there, the movie.
Okay, right.
It's great. But it is very haunted. And we had this tour that was exceptional, to be fair. The jail's in incredible condition. It's fascinating to walk around it. And the tour was really good as well. Hmm. The ghost tour. And there was just so many like moments where he's like, oh, someone died over there, someone killed themselves there, there's a ghost there. And it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And there was at one point, like, Joey and I were in the cell number 8, I think. And he was like, he told a story about a guy who was coming out of jail and he wanted to see his family. And his family were like, nope, we're rejecting you because you're a convict. So he killed himself tragically on the final days of his time in prison. And he's like, who's in cell number 8? And we were like, put our hands up. And he's like, yeah, he died there. And he apparently comes back and he'll touch you.
Oh,
and it's like, fucking hell.
That's a shame.
And I was like, what?
That's a shame.
So all through the night, I kept like periodically waking up like,
to ghost crims.
Is he here? Yeah. Is he here?
Is he here?
But like, Joey slept on the concrete floor. I think he like broke his back.
Right. It's good to sleep on the floor though, isn't it?
I don't know. Well,
It was a very hard floor.
The cell. I didn't really do my homework. I just saw you could stay in a prison. I thought that'd be fun.
Mm.
Didn't really look into it. I brought a sleeping bag. They come with the cells come with a prison bed.
Mm.
And it's got like this metal like lattice on the bed that you lay on. And it's not really a mattress, it's just like this metal.
Yes, okay.
And I put the sleeping bag on it and lay down. I was like, this is worse than the concrete floor. Because like parts of you are just going through the holes in the metal.
Yeah.
Because it's like a lattice. And I tell the staff and they're like, you're an idiot. You're supposed to bring like proper bedding. And I was like, oh. Luckily there was a spare mattress in like a moldy mattress in a cupboard. And I wheeled that out and I got to sleep on that.
Awesome.
And it was horrible. While Joey was on the floor. I'm not sure you got the worst deal. I think Joey, to be fair, because I still slept on the mattress. But really creepy, really quite impressive.
Yeah.
And Joey and I terrified out of our minds. Well, you could just walk around it at night. All night, this whole prison.
What, just have him wander around? Yeah, spook each other out?
There's like three wards on the prison.
Yeah.
And one of them is the one that everyone sleeps in. There was like, you know, 50 people there or something. And but you just sort of walk off into another ward and you don't see anybody.
Get
and you're alone.
Snooker ball and a sock. And kettle filled with sugar. Burn someone.
Convict Donaldson. Well, it was really surreal, and I think it's going to be a good video. And then before that, the night before that, I stayed with Connor in a church.
In a church.
And that was like, I think in a way it was creepier.
Mm.
The jail looked inherently scarier, but...
Imagine that voice in a booming church.
Oh, I know, it was like...
Wow.
It was surround sound, like Connor in all my ears.
But like the bats just flying off the top
of
the belfry.
It was really... just getting the key.
Good stuff.
The key to the church. It was like something out of Silent Hill. It was massive. It was like a foot long.
The key to the church is Jesus in your heart, thank you. With some respect.
It was a big metal key.
It was a big metal key.
And we couldn't get the door open. And we got the door open and then it's just a church.
It's just a church.
And inside the church, there's two like crappy beds. Two like, you know, what do you call it? Like a camping bed.
Right.
Two camping beds in the aisle by the altar.
Mm.
And you just sleep on it. And it's so weird.
I didn't realise these things were open to just sleep in it.
I want to do something fun. I was like, I'm sick of like going to nice hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, this is a bed.
In a church.
This is a room no one who's normal can afford and go in. I thought, let's go somewhere cool.
Mm.
The prison was like £100. The church was £98. And you just get a church. It's just mental.
That's mad, isn't it?
You get this whole church to yourself from like 4 p.m. to 10 a.m. the next day.
How much
is yours?
Can you just read the Bible all night?
You can read the Bible.
How much Bible can you read?
Is it
all you can Bible?
All you can Bible. Best of all, there was
Bible Hordei.
There's GTA in there. There's GTA Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
What?
On PlayStation.
They had a PlayStation in the church.
No, they just had the game. Just
a copy of the game.
It was a shelf with PlayStation games.
Next to
no
the Bibles.
PlayStation, no TV.
Right, okay.
It was so weird. And it was
maybe it was a prop for the priest, sort of saying, look at this sick filth.
Look at this filth.
Look at this filth.
It was like the church that inspired Charles Dickens to write Great Expectations as well.
Yeah.
So it was Charles Dickens' favourite church.
Did he just editorialise that? I don't think that's true.
It's defamation. But like, I in many ways, they were just waking up at like 7 a.m., lifting up your head and realizing you're in a church in an altar. It's something. It was really
things
trippy.
Things have gone very right or very wrong.
Well, it felt almost like apocalyptic, like we're hiding out of this church, end of the world sort of level stuff.
You feel like Morbius.
It was Morbin time, yeah.
It was Morbin time.
It was so weird. I hope the video does it justice, how surreal it was. And the worst thing of all, the graveyard was pretty scary.
Mm.
And that's where the toilet was.
And that's to go to the
toilet,
the graveyard.
You had to walk past the graves of 10 dead children.
Oh, there's something very...
In a church.
There's something very grim about... I don't usually have an issue with this sort of thing.
Well, we talked about this the other week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
We had a listener.
Imagine if that family... Imagine if that family had stayed in that church.
So we had a listener who went to an Airbnb in Wenno, and they went to they stayed near a graveyard, Nipori graveyard or something, and they were freaked out. They opened their Airbnb window and realised they were next to a graveyard, and they checked out and lost their shit. And I was really baffled by this. I was like, there's nothing out of the ordinary. And people's like, oh, I wouldn't stay by a graveyard. It's really scary.
I didn't say that. I said I understand. It's because scary. People have a real issue with... graves and dead people. I've said on more than one occasion I would live in a mass murderer's house. Not like a you know, a genocidal despot.
Well, though
that would probably be a very nice house.
He wouldn't go on a trip to Idi Amin's house.
No, exactly. But I would like someone who killed a lot of people in a house. Right. I'd be like, they're not there anymore, are they?
But a graveyard is the
graveyard line.
Well, I'll take you to the church next time. You can stay. Both Connor and I refused to go to the toilet that night.
Right. She's held it in.
We did.
Peed behind the altar. You shocking lads. Pee in the holy water.
I wouldn't play past Connors, to be fair. But so those videos will be... It's one video. It's going to be one big train wreck of a video. But it's like British culture. We could show something good. The thing is, I don't know what to film. What's good in England? What's wacky? What's interesting? Nothing.
Peppa Pig World. Stuff. Peppa Pig World. Yeah, exactly.
Fucking... I don't know.
So Southend Pier.
I think we found something wacky. I think it ticks the boxes.
Yeah.
And I think it's
it was a weekend.
It was certainly a weekend of horror and terror. And it'll be coming out sometime in June.
Have you ever done a wacky weekend with Connor that's not been filmed at the weekend and therefore you are a liar?
I think most of them have been
Chris!
Most wacky weekends have been shot on a Tuesday.
What a dirty little liar.
Shocking.
Both of you. Shockers. Absolute shockers.
Scum of the earth. We've got a story here from Andrew. He begins, "Hi, petulant Pete, and affable abroad. I have a story about my friend growing up in Japan. His name was Nishiyama-kun.
Nishiyama-kun.
One day, while I was playing Dragon's Quest II at his home, Nishiyama-kun casually blurted out that his grandfather had a hand in a jar."
Whoa.
This story. That's
a human hand in a drawer.
That's the best opening line we've had to a story ever. This came out of the blue, and I wasn't sure what to make of it. His grandfather was well known in the neighbourhood for having a shady past, having accumulated his wealth in Tokyo before doing yonige, a night escape. Oh, we talked about that before.
A night escape.
Yonige, how people in Japan...
just disappear yourselves.
In the night, in the night they'll get a moving company in after midnight. They'll throw it all in the van and fuck off into the night and head to Nagoya.
Yeah.
So he did this. He moved and he escaped to the countryside with his ill-gotten gains. He was not a nice man.
Oh.
I told Nishiyama-kun that I didn't believe him, but he insisted it was true and offered to show me the jar. A few minutes later, we were in the grandfather's garage and sure enough, on one of the shelves... covered in dust was a jar with a hand in it.
You do not get this kind of content on any other podcast. I'm going to say that now.
And I mean, this is the best story I've ever had. I wonder where it was definitely a real hand, definitely. Mm. And I slipped off the lid. Oh my god! To find the liquid inside smelt vinegary. I insisted that we find out how his grandfather got the hand, but Nishiyama-kun was too afraid to ask him, and the matter remained unresolved for years. Cut to a few years later, when his grandfather was old and on death's door. You don't have to feel sorry for him. By all accounts, he was a terrible man. Nishiyama-kun finally plucked up the courage to ask his grandfather where he'd gotten his severed hand. His grandfather leant forward and told him, that, it was here when we moved in. Thus bringing death.
It was here when we moved in.
What a shit ending.
Don't mind the hand.
Thus bringing
death. Is that Stain?
To the mystery. That surrounded the Nishiyama household for a few years.
Criminals, kind of like, or just the world's worst Yakuza.
Well, he was silly lying,
just
wasn't
absolute
he?
Shit.
He must have been lying.
What do you mean?
He was lying.
He saw the hand, didn't he? He saw the jar with the hand in.
No, I meant like, He said, like, the grandfather was like, the hammer's there when he moved in. Yeah. I didn't murder anyone. The body was here when I moved in. I didn't kill anyone in Nagoya. It's all a bit shady.
It's good stuff. It's solid. I like it.
Ill-gotten gains, hands in jars.
Ill-handed hands. I spoke about this on another Stack podcast called The Luke and Pete Show, and I am the Pete contingent of that particular show. And
Plucky
pretenders to the throne.
Plucky pretender Pete.
I talked to a lass at the a woman at the Jubilee celebrations in my street, and her hand fell off.
Was it in a jar?
She was running around, she was jogging, and she fell, put her hand out, and her hand technically fell off. I don't think it was like blood everywhere. I think it was still contained within the skin, but every last bone fucking muscle was just separated from the fucking...
I don't want to hear this. I broke my wrist once and my hand nearly came off.
Your hand nearly came off.
Thank God it didn't end up in a jar. That's pretty mental. I mean, things in jars, it's just wrong. I remember just a few weeks ago, we were shooting Journey Across Japan, and there's just habushi, the snake sake.
Oh, yeah.
It's just mental. It's just a big snake in a jar with sake in it, right?
Delicious.
And I think because I've lived in Japan...
It always looks dirty, though, kind of. It always looks really filthy and old.
I think because I've lived in Japan so long, I sort of normalised it. But then I was just sitting there eating, like, some sashimi, staring at this dead snake as its gaunt expression looked at me, as if to say, get me out of here. But, like, we didn't finish the jar, thank fuck, because it tastes kind of bitter. But just the idea of just this big dead snake in a jar at the end of it. What do you do with it? You just chuck it out the window? Do you put the jar in the bin?
Like, I don't know. Skin it? Wear it like make a little glove out of it? I don't know.
Oh, no.
Just feed it to a passing... I don't know what eats snakes. Mongoose? Give it to a mongoose.
Feed it to a mongoose.
Give it to a bloody mongoose.
The mongoose population of Okinawa must be through the roof. Dear, we got a story this week. What is the story? We've got news this week, rather.
We've
what
got
is
news
the news
this street. What's this, going on? This week. Okay.
What now?
It's an interesting one.
When is it not, Pete? When is it not?
It's kind of hard to sort of get across. I'm not going to paraphrase this. I'm just going to read the first couple of paragraphs of the story, which kind of makes sense. A Japanese-born American said Thursday that she had filed a lawsuit with a Japanese court claiming that the country's nationality law, which bans its citizens from also holding a foreign nationality, violates the Constitution. Yuri Kondo, 75, who currently lives in Fukuoka in southwestern Japan, filed the lawsuit at the Fukuoka District Court, said at a press conference with her legal team that acquiring US citizenship should not have automatically stripped her of her Japanese one. Which is interesting, isn't it? She moved to the United States in 1971 to attend graduate school and practice law in Arizona in 1997. She became a US citizen in 2004. She tried to renew her Japanese passport a couple of years ago, but her application was rejected. She's currently in Japan on her US passport. So basically, she's kind of like been kicked out of her own kind of nationality a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of confusing.
It's a bit weird. In Japan, you have to sort of choose between what country you're citizen of. And like with the... You can't have like two passports at once.
Yes.
So I think here we can have two passports, right? You can have like an Irish passport and a German passport.
I think
you can have multiple passports. Whereas in Japan, it's like you have to choose.
But yeah.
A lot of people actually get away with not doing that, and they will keep both their passports because there's a lot of people don't check. The Japanese government often doesn't check until, like in this case, it's time to renew the passport. I think, and that's when
I find it. I find it baffling that in the year of our Lord 2022, we can be in a situation where people turn up at airports with like a slightly moody passport and thinking they can get away with it. Because everything's digital nowadays. Everything gets scanned. Everything gets... But then maybe it doesn't. Maybe nothing gets entered. I mean, when you hand over your passport at the border, somebody looks at it, don't they? Even if it's the e-gates, someone's just looking at a picture of it, isn't it? Mm. They're not entering anything. Not saying that you were there. Maybe they do. I don't know. I don't know, Chris. I'm confused.
Maybe it
does get scanned. Maybe it does get kept.
I feel a bit bad for it. This is a problem. Like this is, you know, this is something I've heard about over the years. People have got to this.
But it seems weird that you would be able to take away someone's nationality without their consent, effectively, which is what she's complaining. There have been cases in the past. Last year, in fact, start of last year, January 2021. The Tokyo District Court rejected a similar lawsuit filed by 8 men and women residing in Europe, ruling that Japanese nationality law is constitutional. So, look, it's a weird situation for those, and it's a very thoroughly They're trying to sort of roll back the clock a little bit. You have to be, you know, the internet and everything sort of brought everything together, and you can choose to sort of float around a little bit. But it just seems bizarre that Japan would make them their citizens almost, you know, not stateless, but you know, just kicking them out.
It's not.
Can't be Japanese anymore.
It's not
mad.
It's something I'm overly well versed on, but you know, people often ask me if I'm going to become like a citizen of Japan, and I think I heard that it's easier to do that than it is to become a permanent resident in some respects.
You've got to do a lot more.
I don't know why that is, but if I did, I'd have to give up my British passport, and it would just not be ideal. There's that sort of choice involved, and I don't know many people that have done that. Even people that have lived in Japan for you know, 20 years, they'll still keep their American passport or whatever.
Right, okay. Let's see.
I don't know. It's a bit meh. But I don't have much to say on that story, really. It's just a bit rubbish.
Just a little bit.
But that's Japan. That's how it rolls.
That's Japan, baby.
Japan. Great to visit for 2 weeks, a month, 3 months to live there. A few more things to consider. We'll be back in a moment with the fax machine, your stories, comments, and questions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What we got from our listeners this week, Mr. Donaldson?
We got a message from James. Dear Chris and Pete, my question to you is, are you allowed to ask for a knife and fork at a Japanese restaurant? Is it considered rude? And would it be worth bringing my own set of cutlery with me just in case? I think rocking up to a restaurant with your own knife might get you into more trouble than you think. But
call that a knife. I know a few people that have done it. It's not rude. Often, a lot of nice restaurants will be like, do you want a knife and fork? They'll ask you.
Yeah.
And some people are like, don't ask me that, I could use chopsticks. How dare you, that's racist. And then they can't use chopsticks.
Yeah,
and
they're
shit, fair. I should have got the knife and fork. Some restaurants do it. I'd say just learn how to use chopsticks.
Yeah, or don't, and then everyone criticise you until the end of time and you get caught on cameras on one of Chris's videos.
Is that what I do to you?
Yeah. No, you
Oh, yeah,
it.
You can't you use chopsticks.
The randos get involved and have a go at me.
If Pete Donaldson can do it, James, anybody
people
can.
People just pile into my life and slag off my chopsticks. It all goes in my mouth. Don't you worry about
no,
that.
No, it doesn't. It goes all over the fucking table. Nah, I remember. Go and watch the video Pete Donaldson where we had Kobe beef, or the one where we had Okonomiyaki in Osaka, and watch his chopstick technique.
Did it go in my mouth? Yes,
I need to make
did.
A video.
It went in my mouth.
12 things not to do in Japan again.
Right in my gob.
How to not use chopsticks, starring Pete Donaldson. But yeah, no, don't worry about it. They do knife and forks in a lot of restaurants, but my advice, just learn how to do chopsticks. One good meal and you can master it, trust me. You're one in for Ryan. It says, hi, Chris and Pete, my name's Ryan. I'm Ryan, and that's my name. Generations these days in the UK are becoming more and more convenience-based. Generations? Convenience? And everyone seems to call someone in to do basic things like setting up Wi-Fi or building an IKEA bookshelf, which I detest. I know parts of Japan, Japanese life, is convenience-based, but is DIY a thing in Japan? Do you both do much DIY? What is the DIY that you're most proud of? If you could shout out the love of my life and mother to be Wendy, that would be ace. Congratulations, Wendy.
Mm. Restaurant. You just realised that restaurant.
Oh, God. Congratulations. And no.
Right.
I don't do DIY.
You fixed up your studio when it all went smashy smashy, didn't it?
What, print stick?
Yeah. Print stick here
bit
and there.
Bit of sellotape. Yeah. No, I don't do DIY. I don't know. Does Ryotaro do DIY? Probably not. Mm. Does Natsuki do DIY? God, no.
Surely DIY in Japanese homes. I mean, the walls are just paper.
I think people are a lot more likely to get specialists in to get it done properly.
Because, I mean, again, I think botching stuff in Japan would be a real no-no. I don't think it really takes place. Surely, because everyone's a bloody craftswomen out there, aren't they?
That's right. I had someone help me recently put up some paintings. And he did a good job, but then one of the paintings fell down the other day.
Bad job. Like, bad job, mate.
I think, I don't know if it was me knocking the... It might have been me banging the painting.
Kicking the wall.
We'll never know.
Road testing it.
Probably me banging the painting.
I've been trying to get rid of... for some reason, in the bath, these big gouges, like a dog or it's not our dog, but like when we moved in, the bath just had big gouges out of the bottom. Very weird. So I bought this filler and filled it in and I've got to sand it and then I've got to spray paint it.
There you go.
I'm spray painting my bath.
DIY with Donaldson.
That's what I'm doing, mate.
DIY with Donaldson.
You ever spray painted your bath? Well, you've never lived.
He's the best of the business. But no, DIY in Japan, not a thing. Mm. Not something that I know much about. I think, again, people are much more likely to get a specialist in, get it done right. Don't be like Pete Donaldson. Don't do it yourself. We've got one here from Benjamin from Toronto. Hello, Chris and Pete. Where I'm from, foreign film is viewed as artsy, of the highest quality and better than North American films by some. French, Korean, Japanese, and a few other foreign films are typically viewed as very high quality and something special. My question is, what is the average Japanese person's views of films from North America? Do these big box offices... Can't fucking speak today. Coffee's run out. Do these big box office films from Hollywood have the same prestige and quality in their eyes as foreign films do for us in North America? Or are they seen as fun movies, but not quite as good as Japanese movies? Thank you for the podcast, guys. Benjamin from Toronto. That's a tough question to answer. Very specialised. I don't really know. I don't know.
Good. Well, I'm glad you picked out this email.
I don't know. I know like a lot, the most popular Japanese movies at the moment are all rubbish.
Morbius.
They're all aimed at...
Morbius is massive.
They're all aimed at teenagers.
Oh, Morbius-san. You have become a big vampire.
If you bring up Morbius one more time, I'm going to kill you with your mug.
Do you want to go and watch Morbius?
No, I don't want to
watch Morbius.
I'm not watching Morbius.
Well, you go screen on the green, they'll probably be showing Morbius as a joke.
I want to know what the people of Japan think about Morbius. I'm going to go out in the streets when I get back with the microphone. I'm like, what do you think of Morbius?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, I don't know what that is.
Japanese
leave me alone.
Reaction to Morbius.
Blockbuster films do well in Japan, though. I do know that. I think art house films. I saw a film called Men the other day. It was pretty good. It's by the dude that did Ex Machina and Garland did 28 Days Later. Mm. That was a bit artsy. Mm. And I don't think that would do very well in Japan. The sort of films that do very well at the cinema are these awful, low-budget, crap films aimed at teenagers. And it's all very low. Like, it's just really boring.
Right.
But they do really well. And they keep pumping those out rather than doing anything good. Once in a while, they'll do something big like Shin Godzilla, and that'll be nice. And Japan does have a good art house film scene, but I swear to God, most Japanese people don't watch them. I think it's mainly blockbusters that do really well, like Top Gun, probably doing very well in Japan, for example.
Good film, enjoyable, fun.
So That's my thoughts on that.
What, do you want to hear?
Come on then, let's hear Morbius.
Marvel fans, I can't wait for you to check out my new movie, Morbius.
He's talking to the Japanese fans.
Very excited, coming your way very soon. In the film, I play a new Marvel character who attempts to cure his lifelong blood disease.
Is Marvel?
Oh, shit.
In the process, I turn into a living vampire.
Oh, my God.
That's a little bit about what's going on. I think it's
this is really long.
A fun one, and I can't wait for you guys.
There's the trailer.
I want to hear Jared. Did Jared Leto not speak any Japanese?
And I'm running out of time.
I don't want to see you get hurt more than...
Oh, it's not even... I thought they might have a little bit of Japanese talking in there.
In the sand.
Isn't, yeah.
Morbius. Morbius.
Oh, big Morbius boy.
Don't know why. He sounds like an East End London thug. Morbius.
I'm going to morb you.
Oh, God.
I'm going to morb you into that car, mate.
I am not going to watch Morbius.
No.
And you shouldn't too, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, go and watch film review, is it?
Go and watch The Northman instead.
Yeah.
Or Men. Or Top Gun Maverick.
Do you remember that Nissin? Is it Nissin? Is it Nissin?
Noodles.
Yeah, is it Nissin Men advert?
Oh,
where it's just like, it was a muscle man. Yeah, Nissin right. Ramen. It's this guy here. There you go. Just holding a big bit of noodle. He's making noodles with his hands.
Wow, that's a big noodle.
He's a big muscle man. He's loving it. He's loving them noodles.
Do you know why he's shouting men? Do you know why he's shouting men as he throws the noodles?
Ramen? I don't know.
Men means noodles.
Right.
Men is the kanji for noodles, yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. So ramen. What does it look like, the kanji? Is it the...
If I showed you that, I'd have to kill you.
Okay, good.
I'll show you afterwards.
Lovely.
There you go.
Show me your ramen.
There you go, guys.
Show me your men.
Go and watch the Nissin Men commercial. Go and watch Morbius.
Men!
Get me out of here. Get me out of here. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back, guys, later in the week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Farewell.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.